Krishna's appearance in the Bhagavadam. Actually, it is in Srimad Bhagavadam that more information than any other Puranams. Krishnavataram spoken in detail in Bhagavadam. Then Brahma Puranam, Vishnu Puranam, Brahma Vaivartam, Garga Samhita, Harivamsham. In all these things you will find Krishnavataram spoken, but all other Puranams also, somewhere or the other, there will be a little reference to Krishna's appearance. Other Puranams as well. Then, in the same way, Rohini's conceived Balram, and Balram's appearance is spoken in Garga Samhita more than anywhere else. And Balram's appearance is also in the Brahma Vaivarta Puranam. Rohini, who is Rohini? Rohini is, when Kashyapa Prajapati had two wives, Vinada and Kadru. That Kadru, who is the mother of all the snakes, she has Rohini. She is Rohini. Rohini Devi. Rohini Sarpa Madascha. Kadruscha Sarpagarini. In the Brahma Vaivartam says about Rohini. In the about Rohini. Then the when Yogamaya appeared, she was known by various names, as says in the Bhagavatam, Bahunama Nigedeshu, Bahunama Bahuvaha. Indeed, you will find that in the second chapter, fourth chapter. So with her, all the Devi temples have come up. She is worshipped as Durga, Bhadragali, Chandiya, and many other names mentioned there. Right. And in Devi Mahalmyam, which is glorifies Devi, and wherever Krishna's appearance is spoken, along with Devi's appearance is also spoken. Right. And in when Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas went to the king of Virads, there where they were living for a year in incognito. Prior to that, Yudhishthira glorifies Yogamaya, glorifies her, right? In the Brahma Vaivartam Puranam, on the basis of this voice from the sky, Kamsa allowed her to go. They didn't give her any trouble. And Devaki and Vasudev brought her up. It says in Brahma Vaivartam like that. And the Rukmini's marriage time, she was given to Durvasa Maharshi. You will see a lot. These differences, what they are saying is, the Sridhara Swami also says this, differences in the Puranam is due to difference in the Kalpam. For example, in every Kalpam of Lord Brahma, these things are repeating, happening, but it will change from one Kalpam to another. For example, even Puranams, they are spoken in different Kalpams. What it says here is, Brahma Puranam was spoken in Brahma Kalpam. That day of Lord Brahma, Palma Puranam was spoken in Palma Kalpam, Vishnu Puranam was spoken in Varaha Kalpam, Vayu Puranam was spoken in Shruta Kalpam, Bhagavatam was spoken in Saraswata Kalpam, so Naradiyam was spoken in the Brahal Kalpam. In this way, according to the Kalpam in which the Puranam was spoken, there would be some differences. They call it as Kalpandara Nyayam. Based on the Kalpam, the changes had come. So, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev had a relationship Family relationship. What was that relationship? That was that Vasudev's father, Shurasena, he was a Kshatriya king, and he had a child from a Shudra woman, and that is Nanda Maharaj. That is Nanda Maharaj's heritage. Vasudev's father, so that means they are brothers, but mother different. Shurasena had actually, it was Shurasena's uncle. Vasudev's father is Shurasena. His uncle had a son from a Shudra woman, and that is Nanda Maharaj. Shridharacharya Swamiji mentions this in his commentary. So, because of that, Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj are considered to be sort of brothers in that way. Then, after that, we are going to Vrindavanam, Narayaniyam, as well as in the Bhagavadam. They move to Vrindavanam. Vrindavana Yatra, moving from Gokulam to Vrindavanam. That's the next topic in the Bhagavadam, as well as in the Narayaniyam. The history of Vrindavanam is Brahma Vaivarta Puranam talks about Vrindavanam, the history. The daughter of the king in Kedar and Mahalakshmi's incarnation, she was called Vrinda. Vrinda performed penances there, and therefore it became Vrindavanam. Vrinda played her younger days, spent her younger days there. And Tulasi Devi performed her penances there. Radha Devi performed her pastimes there. So because of all this, Vrindavanam became popular. Vrinda yatra krida krida tena va tasyascha tulasi tapasasthanam tadidam cha radha shodasha namnam cha vrinda nama shrutau shrutam tasya kridavanam ramyam tena vrindavanam smritam. Brahma Vaivarta Puranam says this about Vrindavanam. So, we'll go into that now. Vrindavanam, entering into Vrindavanam. 49th chapter. Bhaval pravava vidurahi gopal tarupa vatradiyamatra goshte Ahedum ulpadaganam vishangya prayado manyatra manu videnu tatro vananda vidago bhavaryo jagav bhaval prerana yavanunam ita pradichyam vipinam manojyam vrindavanam nama virajadidhi brihadvanam dal khalunanda mukhya vidhaya gaushtinam adhakshanena tvadanyudatva janani nivishta Garishtayananu gata vichelum Anomano yadhuni denu bali Guna pranadandara do vadhubi Bavad vinoda labida charani Prabhiyanatya yadamargada irkhyam Niriksha vrindavanam ishanandal Prasuna kunda pramukhadrumogham Tamo amodhadasha dvala sandra lakshmya Harinmani kutim apushta shobham Navagan Ruby Utanivasa Bede, Ashesha Gobeshu Sukhasiteshu, Vanashriyam Gopakishore Bali, Vimishra the Periagalo Katastum, Arala Margaga the Nurmalabam, Arala Kujakra the Nurmalabam, Nirandaras Mera Saroja Vatram, Kalinda Ganyam Samaloka Yestum, Mayura Gegasha the Lopaniam, Mayukamala Shabalam Maninam, Virinja loga sprisha mucha shringer, Girinja govardhana maikshadhastvam. Samandado govakumara geistvam, Samandado yatravanandamaga, Tatastatastam kudilam apashya, Kalinda jam ragavadi vivaigam. Tathavidesvin vipine pashavye, Samulsa goval sagana prachare, Charansaramothakumara geistvam, Samira Gehadi Papa Hirogal. from Gokulam, Krishna, along with the other cowherd boys and gopis, they have decided to move to Vrindavanam. If you look into the 10th canto, in the 12th chapter, you will find this. The Sri Shukavacham 12.1 Kujidvanashayam Manodhadad Brajad Pradasamuttaya Vaisya Valsavan Prabhodayan Shringaravena Charunam Virgado Valsavurasaro Hari. Actually, Krishna has before coming to Vrindavanam, Krishna has killed actually Bakasura, and Balarama killed Valsasura also at that time. So actually Vrindavanam, Govardhanam, Kalindi river, all these things gave great happiness to the to Krishna and the cowherd boys. Plenty of space to play and plenty of grass for the cows to eat. So they all decided to move to Vrindavanam. And as far as they are concerned, moving from one place to another was not a big problem, because they built their own houses with simple things. hay and also bamboos. It was simple cottages that they made. And they were able to transport that easily from one place to another. In this way, they entered into Vrindavanam. And you can see there in the 7th verse, Arala margagada narmalabam Arala kujakrada narmalabam Nirandara smera saroja vakram Kalinda kanyam Samalogayaswam. 7th verse. So, Krishna saw Kalindi river, and what was special with the way Kalindi flew, Kalindi was flowing, and the clear water of the Kalindi, and the birds enjoying the Kalindi river with the beautiful songs they sung, and swans in the Kalindi water, all that Krishna has sung. Krishna has seen that, and he says there that Mayura keka shadalobhaniyam, mayukamala shabalam maninam, virinja logaspresham uchashangir girinja, govardhana maikshadastvam. That Govardhana Parvadam, which was quite tall at that time, and Krishna saw that, and the peacocks and the different birds who were present in the Govardhana Parvadam. And then one day morning, Krishna says to the friends that we will eat today in the forest, not at home. So he told everyone to bring the packaged prasadam with them. And they arrived in the forest to eat there. And one day, Valsasura and Bagasura, who were killed by Krishna and Balaram before, hearing that, their brother Akasura decided to kill Krishna. So Akasura has come to kill Krishna. And akham means sinful reactions. Sinful reactions personified is Akasura. Right? So Akasura came to Vrindavanam, and like a huge cave, he took the form of a huge python, opened his mouth and was lying there. Children were playing, all the cowherd boys were playing, and they got into this cave. And they were looking for a place to hide. They were playing hide and seek, the boys. The children said that there is a nice cave, new cave they have found in Vrindavanam, and they entered into that cave. So, somebody said to them that this is not a cave, it's actually a snake, right? Look at the teeth of the snakes and everything. And another person noticed, another cohort boy noticed, there was a smoke coming from the mouth inside. And it was the hot air that the snake was blowing out. And somebody said that, no, it is actually coming from the forest being burned in the forest that's burned, it's coming out as the smoke. In this way, the boys were describing Akasura in different ways. They didn't know actually. Somebody said that it is a snake. Somebody said, no, it's a cave. So he didn't close his mouth. And before, Akasura was waiting for Krishna to get in, to close the mouth. So therefore he kept the mouth open. And as soon as Krishna entered inside, Akasura understood that Krishna is inside now. If Krishna is entered inside Akha, means that Krishna is entered into the sinful reactions. So, Krishna could have killed Akasura from outside, but all the children were inside. Therefore, Krishna entered inside. As soon as Krishna entered inside, Akasura closed the mouth, right? And he swallowed Krishna. And then broke open and came out from Akasura's mouth. And at that time, Akasura was killed. Akasura's soul went into the sky and came back and joined Krishna's lotus feet, right? So that means sinful reaction has got liberated. Pavam. Akam means pavam. Akasura is sinful reaction. He got liberated, right? So they asked a question to Parikshit, asked, how can sinful reaction get liberated like that? Sri Shuka Brahmarshi says that if we look into the verse 39 in the Bhagavatam, he says, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi's explanation to that. He says, Sagrdyadanga Pradima Andarahida Manomayi Bhagavadim Tadogadim Sa Evanityalpa Sukhanu Bhudrubi Vyudastamaya Andargadohi Kim Punyaha. Very logically, Shuka Brahmarshi mentions this. He's saying that Sagrdyadanga Pradima Andarahida Manomayi Bhagavadim Dadau Gadim Sa Eva Nityalpa Sukhanu Bhudhubi Vyudastamayo Andargadohi Kim Puna. Normally, people see Krishna in the deity form. Worshipping the deity form, which is stone or wood or whatever, that is right. And in that way, by worshipping him, Manomayi Bhagavadim Dadau Gadim. Even by worshipping a wooden form or a stone deity, if one can advance in spiritual life and become a pure devotee, Parama Bhagavadam, imagine in situation like this with Akasura, by worshipping Krishna's deity, one becomes a pure devotee. Imagine to someone's mouth, if Krishna himself enters, whether he will get liberated or not, is there any question of that? Sudeva Goswami is saying. Do you understand what it means? That even worshipping the deity form, people have become pure devotees. So imagine Akasura's good fortune. Not even the deity, Krishna himself has gone inside. So is there any question, he says, that about Akasura getting liberated? There is no doubt about that. That is how Sudeva Goswami answered that in that verse. He is saying, Sagrudyadanga pradima andarahida manomayi bhagavadim chadaugadim sa evanityalpa sukhanubhutrubi vidostamaya yondargadohikim puna. So, and that personality, he has swallowed. A personality who is worshipping deity alone liberates a person. That personality Akasura has swallowed, he says. Right? So, is there any question that he will get liberated, isn't it? Either Krishna has to swallow us, or we have to swallow Krishna. Either way. So, one of the things must happen. Netrai shotraischa vitva paramarasa sudam bodhi pure rameran. So, normally we go and swallow Krishna by looking at Krishna's form, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's form itself we are swallowing inside through our eyes and the ears. Bhagavatam is swallowing Krishna through the ears. And deities are swallowing Krishna through the eyes inside, right? So either we have to swallow Krishna or Krishna has to swallow us in either way. So, some people will swallow Krishna's wealth. They won't swallow Krishna. They'll swallow Krishna's wealth and run away. So, that's no good. You have to swallow Krishna himself, not wealth. So, in that way, Krishna killed Akasura, right? And this story was spoken after a year time. The cowherd boy has gone home and spoken this after a year's time to their family members, right? Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to Sri Shukla Brahmarshi at that time. So, why it took such a long time to mention this to the to people at home? What happened in between, he said. As soon as this question came up, Shukla Brahmarshi went into samadhi state. You can see there. The last verse in the 12th chapter. Suta Vacha Ittham Smaprashta Sadhu Badarayani Tatsaidananda Kata Akhilendriya Krishan Punarlabdha Bahirdrishri Shane Pratyahadam Bhagavadottamottama. Suta Goswami says there that when Shukla Brahmarshi asked this question, they remembered Krishna more, and this question has made Shukla Brahmarshi to go into samadhi state. And somehow or the other he came out of samadhi state and started speaking how it happened. Right? So, you will see in some places in the Bhagavadam, Shukla Brahmarshi's name is used as Badarayani. Few places you will find Badarayani. So, ittam sma prashta sadhu Badarayani, tat smaridananda kradakhilendriya, krichran punarlabdha behirdrashi shanai. Look at the words. Krichrad punarlabdha behirdrashi shanai. But what that means is, all this time he was inward looking. Now he was struggling to come out from that samadhi to speak further. Punar labdha bahir drishri shanai. Bahir drishri means to come out from the samadhi. Shanai. Slowly. He has to come out slowly from his samadhi state, right? Pratyahadam bhagavadottamottama. So, slowly he woke up from his samadhi state and spoke. So, why? At this time, Shukla Brahmarshi remembered Ananta. Ananta means that one who has no end, unlimited, right? The realized soul, their mind is like that. Because for them, they live inside. They don't live in the outside world. So sometimes it's very difficult for them to bring their attention from the world inside to the world outside, right? So, one story about this one sannyasi was sitting in Ganga river bank, and on a step he was sitting there. So a child came to play in the river. He managed to get hold of some fish, right? And he put that fish in a small pot of water and put it on the step to take it with him. So this sannyasi was sitting on the step there, and he was looking at the fish inside the pot, in the water, inside the pot. Children do that, they catch the fish, and then if they have a pot, they'll put the fish inside the pot with the water so that it can survive, and keep it on the steps, and when they go home, they take it with them. So the sannyasi was looking at the pot and the water in the pot and the fish. And the fish was struggling inside the pot to wanted to come out from there, get back into the river. So it kept on jumping inside, and suddenly in one jump, it came out of the pot and fell back into the river again. Into the river again. So the sannyasi saw this. Immediately he went into samadhi state. Why? It reminded him that this body, what we have, is like the pot. And jivatma inside this pot is like the fish. It is struggling inside to get out from here, from this body. Right? And it is keep on trying whole life how to come out of this bodily identity. Right? It is the same situation with the liberated souls, Jivan Mukta stage. Jivan Muktas are people who are liberated inside, but the body has not gone yet. So Jivan Muktas are waiting for the body to drop, and before they leave the body, they are in a rush, hurry to come out from here. Right? So any moment it can come out and go and get dissolved in the Brahman, right? So, that is that second line, you see. Ittham sma prashtas sadubadarayani tatsmarida ananda kritha akhilendriya. See, tatsmarida ananda kritha akhilendriya, he is saying. Ananda remembered about this unlimited nature of the Brahman. Tatsmarida ananda kritha akhilendriya, he is saying. Krichrat, because normally Shukha Brahmarshi is in that state of realized state. And suddenly when this question was raised, he came out from that state to speak Bhagavadam again to him, right? That is why that word is important, that line. That particular verse is important, particularly that second line you can see. Tatsmarida ananda hrida akhilendriya. In the Bhagavadam, this is. Remembering that who Krishna is, and that memory of the unlimited nature of Krishna. Ananda smarida ananda hrida akhilendriya. He says. And again, third line also important, because Krishna punar labdha bahir adrishi shanei. For them it is a big struggle to come out from their samadhi state, to come to our state. To come to our state, it is difficult for them. For us to go to their state is difficult, and for them from their state to come to our state is also very difficult, right? So, and what did he do? He says, Hrida Akhilendriya, all senses he has pulled inwards. Like the Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kurmanga Aniva Sarvasha. Like the tortoise pulls all its limbs inside, right? So after some time, Krishrad Punar Labdha Bahir Drishi. It took a while for him to answer that question. He couldn't answer straight away, because he went into Samadhi, and it took a while for him to come. After saying Akhasura's story, Sri Shukha Brahmarshi went into Samadhi state. And then the king asked, Marishit Maharaj asked the question. And he couldn't reply straight away because he had to come from the samadhi state back into the normal state of vyavaharam state, vyavaharika level sense. So you will see this in the Bhagavatam. Now and then, right in the middle of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he will go into samadhi state. In certain instances, you find this. You will also notice the same thing before Sudama's story was spoken. He went into samadhi state. And then Parikshita had to ask the question, and it takes a while for him to come from samadhi to the normal state to speak to Parikshit. When Shukabrahmarshi is talking, he is speaking from the samadhi level. That's why they say this is samadhi bhasha. The language of Bhagavatam is samadhi bhasha, they call it. The acharyas, Vallabhacharya and others says, it is samadhi bhasha. So, when they go into samadhi, then it is difficult for them to speak. So they have to come out from samadhi back to our jagrat state to speak. So that is what is stuck in that particular verse is saying. Suda Goswami is saying this. Itham sma prishta sadubadarayani tatsmariga ananda khrida khilendriya krichan punar labda behir drishi shane pratyahatam bhagavadottam ottama. So, this, that is why this samadhi state is considered to be a gartam. Gartam means a deep pit. Once you have fallen into that, coming out from that is very difficult, right? So, whenever, and therefore, in Vishnu Sahasranamam, one of the names of Vishnu is deep pit, Mahagartam. Mahagartam is one name given to Krishna in the Vishnu Sahasranama. Mahagartam. If you fall into that pit, it is difficult to come out from there. Right? So, and this, of course, you remember Vishnu Sahasranama was spoken by Bhishma in Mahabharatam. And that is where he mentions this, right? So, a very deep pit he is, right? And so, here also, people say about great realized souls in this way. Sometimes, great devotees goes to see highly realized souls when they went to see doctor. When they went to see Ravana Maharshi, one doctor, he was going to visit him, to see him. And this doctor was also related to the agricultural research and all that. Very famous person he was. And so when he told his friends that he's going to see Maharshi, the friends told him, be careful. If you go there and you see Maharshi, probably you will fall into that pit. You got your family and everybody is here, right? So, to pull you out from that, if your family members are with you, it won't happen. They will give you protection from falling into that, right? So, Mahagartham. So, similarly, Shukabrahmarshi here thought about Krishna's greatness, glories, and in that unlimited glories of Krishna, absorbed, dissolved in that. And after some time, he woke up, and what was the memory came to him. Then he realized that children were playing in the forest. All the children were playing in the forest. So, when they were playing, Lord Brahma felt that he wanted to see the children's play. And he also wanted to find out that Krishna has come from Vaikuntham and Brahma's understanding. He has come from Vaikuntham. And what is he doing now? And Brahma has seen Mahavishnu in Vaikuntham. Right? Sometimes when you go to Vaikuntham, you will not be able to get darshanam of Vishnu. For example, you can see when four Kumaras went there and Jaya Vijaya had sent them back, isn't it?
So when you go to Vaikuntham also, it is sometimes difficult to get to see Krishna. So, and here, in the, if you look at the time when Krishna and the demigods prayed, at that time, Giram Samadho Gagane Sameeritam, in the first chapter, in the 21st verse, they did not get to see, go to Vaikuntham. They, when they prayed with Purusha Suktam prayers, they heard the voice from the sky. The reply came from the sky, right? That you will have to go, we will come and Krishna will appear and solve the problem. You can see that in the 52nd chapter, Anyavatara Nikareshu Nirikshidam Pe, first verse, Bhumadirekam Abhiviksha Pratakhamokshe, Brahma Parikshidumana Saparoksha Bhavam, Ninyeda Valsaga Ganan Pravitatyamayam. Brahma Parikshidumana. So that is what happened. Brahma Parikshidumana. Brahma wanted to test Krishna, to test him, right? He wanted to find out. Prior to this, only information Brahma had when they went to pray in the ocean, near the milk ocean. All the demigods went together to pray to Vishnu. And that time Vishnu said that I will come into the planet and into earth and solve the problem. So now he knows that he had come. So what he is doing here, Brahma wanted to find out, right? So, and when Brahma came and looked, what did he find? He saw Sridham on one side, Sudama on the other side, and Krishna is sitting there with all the cowherd boys, together having a good feast. They brought the prasadam, everything from home, and they were all having a feast all together, right? And plenty of things. And apart from that, they also had a few monkeys around. So, and they were sitting together with their hands on each other's shoulders, just like the boys enjoying together, right? And that is why you will find in the 13th chapter, it is one of the verses to talk about. It is a Dhyana Shlokam. Dhyana Shlokam means that in Vanabhojanam, together having prasadam, all the boys together. That's what that verse is. 11th verse. Vibradhvenam jadarapatayo shangave treja kachai vamehi pano masrana kabalam talbhala nyangulisho tishtan madhye subari sukhrudau hasayan narma bhiswai sorge loge mishadi bubuje yetnyabuk balageli. That verse. That what Brahma saw there, Vanabhojanam, that means together having the prasadam together. It is one form for meditation, Vanabhojanam form, right? What Brahma saw there was Yajnabukha, Krishna sitting there and having prasadam with all the other boys, right? And when he looked at Krishna, he saw that the cane, he has got the cane on his armpits, and the flute is stuck into the dhoti inside here, right? And the peacock feather, and in the hand he has got the food to take inside, and other things like different vegetables, fried and other things. The children are having fun with it. Different people are cooked different things, and they put them on the finger and looking at it, and then they are talking to each other, making jokes to each other. Hasayan narma bhiswai. Krishna is talking about the life in Gokulam and Vrindavanam and his exploits with the gopis, how gopis are behaving with him. All these things, Krishna is having a fun with the other cowherd boys, talking about them, right? And Brahma saw this, and Brahma's impression was, Mahavishnu means He must be a, he is the personality who receives all the offering through the sacrifice, right? Why is that he is enjoying with the children in this way? Brahma thought, which he has never experienced before, right? In the Vishnu Sahasranam, you will find a name for Krishna, Sulabha Sukhrida, right? These people have got Sulabha, they have got it very freely, association with Vishnu in this way, right? So, Brahma thought that they may be discussing some big Vedantam or something, that Mahavishnu is speaking, because he didn't expect Mahavishnu to act like a child, like a little boy in this way. But when Krishna was speaking, all the other cowherd boys were also enjoying the joke, what Krishna is making, right? Krishna is making a lot of jokes. He used to make a lot of jokes with the other cowherd boys, right? So he was saying to one cowherd boy, that you know that fat gobi, she never gives me any butter. Krishna is complaining about some of the gobis to the other cowherd boys, right? So he says to them that when they were yesterday, she abused me like anything. She wouldn't give me anything. So so night time they were sleeping, both the gobi and her husband. And the husband has got long beard. And the gobi has got long hair. So when they were sleeping, I went inside and tied their beard and the hair together. Krishna says, and I tied it in such a way that they couldn't remove it. They tried very hard how to take it out. So together they came to complain to my mother, to Yashoda Devi. So Yashoda asked them, why have you come like this with the whole tied? The hair has tied. The her husband had got beard, long beard, and she has got long hair. So I tied them both together. Krishna is saying this to the boys who were sitting there. And they had come and complained to my mother. My mother asked them that, why did you come here together tied like this, he said. So they told my mother that Krishna has come and tied this, I think, at night. Otherwise, how can it be? Already he is stealing things. And now he has done this as well. And what kind of knot he has made, I don't know, they are saying. It's something very difficult to untie from there. And whoever has tied this has to dismantle it, isn't it? We are unable to take it out, they said. So Brahma is hearing all these jokes from this guy. And Brahma could not control himself. He started laughing this whole thing, right? That is why you see there, Hasayan Narmabhiswai. Hasayan Narmabhiswai means all kinds of jokes Krishna was making about the gobis and the cowherd boys. And they were all having a good time making fun of others. So, and then they were playing there. Hide and seek. And at that time Brahma felt this idea. Why shouldn't I cover the boys, keep them away from Krishna's vision, put them into a cave and close them, the door, right? And this thing, this is Brahma's job, isn't it? To put us all into this cave. That's what he does normally. To put us into the cave of this body, right? Once this life is over, put us into another cave. That's Brahma's job. Changing the caves for us. He puts us into this cave, and then when this cave life is over, he puts us into another cave, the next body, right? So this is, he's got used to this, putting people into caves. He has got used to this, right? So he put all the boys into the cave and closed the door. In the meanwhile, Krishna has gone searching for the calves. That's what this happened. When Krishna went away looking for the cows, and Brahma locked them up in the cave, the cowherd boys. And then when Krishna came looking for the cowherd boys, he locked them up, the calves, in the cave. Knowing all these things, Krishna understood that it is Brahma's work. Brahma has done this, right? two things here. If you fall into Krishna's cave, you escape. If you fall into Brahma's cave, you are in trouble. Right? That means you can fall into one of these only. Either into Krishna's hands, then you escape from here. Or you can fall into Brahma's cave, this body, and suffer here. Punarabhi Jananam, Punarabhi Maranam, Punarabhi Janani Jadare Shainam. So either get liberated and escape from this cave to Krishna's control, or come from Krishna's control and fall into Brahma's cave. And when Brahma took all the cowherd boys and locked them up in the cave, Krishna said, thought that we have to do something about to Brahma. Krishna thought that this Brahma has got a very difficult job. It's a boring job, what Brahma has got. Very boring job, right? And because constantly he is busy with creation. Keep on creating, and leaving them, right? And he doesn't have any entertainment in Brahmalokam. He gets bored with that work there. And not only that, whatever is Brahma is complaining, anything I have created, not one of them comes out rightly, correctly. Because he creates all of us and sends us here, and we come here and we forget about why we have come here, and we are busy with all rubbish in this world. So Brahma is constantly complaining to Krishna in the third canto. If you remember, in third canto he said to Krishna, I don't want this creation anymore. It's such a boring job. Whatever I have created, it all turns out to be useless. At the end, they all waste my time, and they all also wasting their time as well. It seems Narada Maharshi asked Brahma once to his father, how are you? He says to him. And father was very depressed. Brahma was very depressed. Brahma is getting old now, and his vision also getting a little bit affected, right? So he says to Narada Maharshi, in the last batch I have created, I forgot to put something in their head, he said. The last batch. He is talking in terms of kalpam, you have to remember, not in terms of one generation here, in terms of kalpam. In the last batch, the last kalpam I have created, I forgot to put something in their head. So, and they have gone to the earth. I'm sure they must be struggling there, because that thing what I was supposed to put in, I didn't put it in, he said. Right, they may be struggling there. Go and find out what they are doing, he said. So Narada Maharshi came here, right? And he wanted to help his father to find out, isn't it? Sometimes you can see from the factory some batch of production has gone without some parts missing or something, then they will call back all the goods back again to fix it again. Companies do that with the cars and all that. And some of the other equipments also, washing machines and fridges and everything, it happens. So, same day, Brahma says to Narada Maharshi that this last batch I've sent had got big manufacturing defect. We have to get them back or do something about it. Go and find out how they are doing, he said. So he comes here and he looked at everybody, Brahma's last batch. And he goes back. He goes back and says to Brahma, it's good if you make it like that, they're fine, he said. Narada Maharshi says to Brahma, they are all okay, he said. In fact, they are the ones in the last batch which has gone from here. They are doing very well, he said. So Brahma says, what are they doing? Narada Maharshi says, they have all become politicians. He said, because they are the ones who does the maximum damage to this world with their politics, right? And they are in all things, they are taken the control. And they are doing a good job there with their politics, he says. So Brahma, poor Brahma, who had no entertainment there, were thinking like that, and he has now put this cowherd boys in the cave. Krishna thought that somehow or the other I should give some happiness to Brahma. You will see in the 19th verse what he says there. 13th chapter in the Bhagavadam. 10:13:19. Yavad valsava valsakalpaka vapur yavad karangraya adhigam yavad yashti vishana venu dalashrag yavad vidhushambaram yavad shila gunabhidagrdi vayo yavad vihara adhigam sarvam vishnumayam giranga vadaja sarvasvarupo bhavau.
That's what Krishna did. What did he do? Krishna showed who he is. His Ishwaratvam. I am the supreme controller. That Ishwaratvam Krishna manifested there. The Ishwara nature, right? Krishna expanded himself. Krishna became everything. So, how did he expand? If there was a calf which was a reddish color or brownish color, Krishna has become that, a brownish calf, right? And Krishna turned himself into all the cowherd boys. And these cowherd boys in looks, not only external looking, even in their consciousness, like before, Krishna has become like that. All the calves. Similarly, the cowherd boys also, their colors were different. There were, some of them were little black complexion, some of them were white complexion, so or brown. According to their color, Krishna has taken the body. Exactly like that, right? And some of them are fat, and Krishna was fat for those boys who have become, Krishna has become. And some of them are slim, and Krishna was slim as well. And all those cowherd boys, they had different things in their hands, like the cane for tending the cows, then their food packets. All these things, Krishna has become that. Krishna has become that, right? And some cowherd boys had some bags with them to bring their food and everything. Even the bags, Krishna has become that. And similarly, Krishna has become the food which was inside the bags. Krishna has become that. Also, cowherd boys have their turbans. And Krishna has become the turban also in their heads, right? And on that day, when they went home, Krishna went home, all these expanded forms of Krishna in the cowherd boys and with various paraphernalia, they all went back home. And calves were tied in, and they went into the goshala in the home, and the cowherd boys, who Krishna has expanded himself, has gone to their parents, the cowherd men and the gopis there, right? What is this showing, teaching us, this action of Krishna? Ishwaratva means that he is the Ishwara, or the controller of the world, creation, right? So, what he has shown is a miniature form of creation. That is what this pastime is talking about. Miniature form of creation, right? Srishti, creation is like this. You see there? What it says? Sarvam Vishnumayam Gironga Vadaja Sarvasvarupo Bhavau. If you look into this pastime, you can understand what this creation is. Right? If you look at this pastime, you can understand what creation means. This is how creation is. Like Krishna has shown in that pastime, how he expanded himself into cowherd boys and calves and replaced the whole children who came from Gokulam, Vrindavanam, and he expanded himself and they all went back to their parents that day. In the same way, this is the theory of creation. In this way, Vishnu has expanded, and that is this world and the living entities here. It is his expansion. So the principle of creation is this pastime. His pastime is to teach us the principle of creation. How Krishna expands himself into various forms. We are then expanded forms of Krishna. Sarvam Vishnuvayam, because it is like, creation is like a dream, right? What do we do in the dream? In the dream also, for example, if I am speaking now here, if I dream this room in the night, without any one of you present there, I will see everyone there in my dream, wouldn't I? How do I do that? Because this is the potency of the soul to create. It is the potency of the soul that it can create. It has got the capacity to create. Krishna is the soul. So in the night time, when I dream this room now, if I dream in the night, I will see every one of you separately sitting there with different clothes, different age groups, and different books, and man, woman, all these different forms, everything I will see in the dream. Where did they all come from? This is the theory of creation. Theory of creation, right? For example, some of you wearing red clothes, some of you wearing green clothes, all even different colors even, I could see in the dream. With that, right? So, where does that come from? Because the Atma inside is capable of reproducing everything in the dream on its own. Even though physically you may not be there, but Atma is capable of creating the same impression inside me in the dream state, in the night. That is what the principle of creation. Similarly, all the living entities in this creation has come from Krishna, in Krishna's, Vishnu's dream, in that way. So, and you can see, suppose you have a garland in the neck, I will see the garland. And similarly, if you have the glasses on your, in your eyes, I will see the glasses in the night, right? So, similarly, I will see everything, the table there, the books there. Suppose if I see the dream, this whole class, I can see everyone, everything in the dream, very distinctly, right? So, similarly, I will also notice some people are smiling, somebody is sleeping. All that I will see in the dream also. Is it not? So that is the nature, right? And this nature of creation is that and when I create that in my dream, I enter into them. I enter. This is the Atma's activity, right? And also I will notice, I am sitting here and speaking, that also I will see. I will see separately, right? So, and sitting separately from this, I will be watching me speaking and all of you sitting there. This I will see myself separately, right? So Srishti, creation, we create in the dream. We are able to create in the dream, right? Why? Through Sankalpam. Because this impression is inside me, I can create this in the dream if it comes out. That is due to the Sankalpam inside me, right? So what is here to know that is, in dream state, when you are creating this whole thing, this is only an example, but all other things also in the same way. Along with that, there is also avidya. Ajnanam is there. While you are creating in that dream state, avidya is also there, right? What is that avidya? Avidya is this, that I am not any of these. I am separate from that, right? For example, I am thinking I am only, it is a very fine thing, if you get it, good. I am thinking now, I am only this, right? You are separate from me. This is why I am thinking now. In the dream state, I have created all of you from me, from inside, right? But my avidya is telling me in the dream state that they are all separate from me. Do you understand that? That right now,
In the vacant state, my avidya is there. Avidya is what? Ajnanam. Ajnanam means what? Ajnanam means I don't know my real identity. I'm thinking in terms of the body and identifying with the body, right? Because I identify with the body, I also think of you as your body. I'm thinking of you as your body, right? So that means you are separate from me. This is avidya. But in reality, you can see I am able to create all of you from inside, from me, which shows that in reality there is no difference between me and you. As far as the soul is concerned, it's all one. Soul is in the spiritual platform, we are all one, we are not many. Only when the body comes in, we become different. Separation happens, right? So that experience that you are all separate from me, I'm separate from you, is due to avidya. In realized state, that avidya goes away. That separation goes away. That is why about Shukha Brahma she said, tam sarvabhuta hridayam. That in his state, he knows he is present in everyone's heart, including Sudha Goswami's heart. That is why when Bhagavatam was finished, when they asked the question that who will speak Bhagavatam, he says that Sudha Goswami sitting there, he will repeat Bhagavatam again, he said. How was he able to say that? Because he knew that Sudha Brahma Shri is present in Sudha Goswami's heart. In everyone's heart who are present there, all the rishis. That is a liberated state. But we are not like that. So that is why this pastime is teaching this principle. Principle is more important. To know that Atma is capable of producing anything. And in our vacant state, we are separate. All of us are separate in the bodily identity. And when I go into dream state, I am able to create everyone in the dream state as individuals. Why I am able to create as individuals? Because of avidya. If avidya is not there, then in the dream state itself is a liberated state. That will happen, right? So, and because in the dream state, the same avidya I have in the vacant state follows me in the dream state, right? In reality, the speaker, the listener, all these things are in my sankalpam only. It's only in the sankalpam. Because this ajnanam is there, that sankalpam is staying like that. Actually, there is no meaning. Somebody is speaking, somebody is listening. All this is based on the body. On a spiritual level, this has no meaning. Because soul is one. There is not these differences and separation is all because we took this dress of the body. Therefore, this has happened. That's why it's saying here that this particular pastime with Brahma, Krishna has explained to us the theory of creation. Theory of creation. And so, and suppose after the dream I woke up, what happens? When I wake up, there is no hall, there is nobody speaking, there is nobody listening, no speakers, no listeners, no mic, no books, nothing. Only I am on my own. Is it not? So, that is why you will see in the Upanishads a statement. Ekam evam advidiyam brahma neha nanasti kinchana. That Upanishad principle, Shukha Brahma Rishi spoke in this way. The knowledge in... Normally if you say to someone, Ekam evam advidiyam brahma neha nanasti kinchana, people will not capture that. So to explain that Upanishad's philosophy of Ekam evam advidiyam brahma neha nanasti kinchana, only there is Brahma, that's one. Brahma is one. And neha nanasti kinchana, there is no many. There is no many. And to confirm that principle, this particular pastime, Shukha Brahma Rishi has utilized that for that purpose, right? In fact, you can see, it's me in the vacant state has expanded into many in the dream state. Is it not? In the vacant state, I am alone. But in the dream state, I have expanded into many forms, as everybody here. I have expanded. And the same experience for you also, in the same way. In your dream, if this classroom comes, you expand yourself into everyone else in the class, right? So, it is like this, Krishna creates this world, and that Krishna has displayed in this pastime. In this pastime, that's what Krishna has taught us, that this is how creation happens, right? Then, and that is why the principle of creation is spoken in this particular pastime, what happened, right? So, after some time, Krishna has gone as cowherd boys to the house, replacing all the boys which Brahma has locked up in the cave. Isn't it? Brahma has locked up everybody. And Krishna has expanded himself and gone into every house as cowherd boy. And when they went there, both the father and mother, the gopis and their husbands, they all felt immense happiness towards their children. They were feeling on that day some particularly unusual attachment to their children who had come back, right? So, and they also noticed, they were feeling excessive love for the child. Sarvam Vishnumayam, right? So, in the similar way, all the calves have gone back. And the calves have gone back, and the calves were feeling immense love for the mother cow. Because these calves are also Krishna. The cowherd boys who went home is Krishna. And the calves are also Krishna, right? So, in this way, one whole year gone, passed through, right? And it is after that, Brahma wanted to find out what is happening. And our 1 year is a short period of time for Lord Brahma. And when he came back, he saw everything is going on in the normal way. And Brahma was thinking all the children might be wandering around looking for Krishna. But everything was normal. So Brahma started getting a bit suspicious about it. So he went and checked in the cave where he has locked up all the boys. And they were all there as before. And they didn't know anything what was going on. They were put into Maya there also. And only later at the end, Balram started doubting about the whole thing, right? Sometimes Balram doesn't think very fast. Takes time for Balram, right? So when he looked very carefully, he saw them. They were all with the four-handed forms, conch shell, disc, lotus flower and the club in the hand. And that is what he's saying here. Sarvam Vishnumayam Giranga Vadaja Sarvasvarupo Bhav. Brahma felt first testing Krishna. Brahma parikshitu mana. Right? But now Brahma has understood the mistake he has made. Everyone who was standing right in front of him with the four-handed forms was Krishna. So Brahma came to see Krishna then and stood there offering his prayers to Krishna, right? If you see in the 52nd chapter, Narayaniyam, you will find the 10th verse that
Nashyanmade tadane vishyavadim hustvam natuajanu davadidhadari dhamayatre pote samam pramudidai pravishannikedam vathalayadiva vibho paripahirogal.
That Brahma offered his prayers to Krishna, and 14th chapter, if you look in the Brahma Stuti, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the most famous prayers from in the Srimad Bhagavatam, among many Brahma's prayers, one of the most important one.
Naumidyade Brahmabhushe Tadidambaraya Gunjavadamsa Parimingjalasan Mukhaya Vanyasraje Kabalavetra Vishana Venu Lakshmashriye Mrudupade Pashubangajaya.
Beginning from that, it goes a very long prayers, right up to 40.
10:14:1 to 10:14:40 is all Brahmastuti. 10:14:1 to 10:14:40
finishes there. Shri Krishna Vrishnikula Pushkara Joshadayin Shmanajjara Dvija Vashudhari Vridhigarin Urdharma Sharvarahara Kshidirasha Sadru Agalpa Markamarhan Bhagavan Namaste.
Brahmastuti is famous. Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam. All three things in Brahmastuti. Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam. All three of them. Krishna blessed Brahma after the Brahmastuti. And Brahma, after the glorification, said the good fortune about the cowherd boys. Their good fortune, right?
That's what he's saying there.
Aho bhagyam,
nanda gopa vrajaugasam. Yen mitram paramanandam purnam brahma sanatanam. He said in his verse 32, you will see in the Brahmastuti, he is saying that.
Aho bhagyam, nandagoba vrajaugasam. Yen mitram paramanandam purna brahma sanatanam. He said. So, why is that? How fortunate are these cowherd boys? The supreme Brahman, aho bhagyam, purnam brahmam, is playing with them. Purnam brahmam. Sanatanam is playing with them. And he glorified the cowherd boys and he left. And he saw at the same time Krishna and the cowherd boys were playing in the river bank, in Yamuna river. So in one instance, the cows drank the water from the Yamuna river and all of them collapsed. They did. Because of the poison from Kaliya, poison. And when they lost their life, you will see in the Narayaniyam how they put it. 54:5.
Kale tasmin negada sirapanim muktuaya de yamunam kananandam to yuddham agrishma bhishmoshmadapta go go balovya piban chueladoyam.
That after drinking the water there, they lost their life and they fell off. On that particular day, they went to the forest without Balram. Balram didn't go with them, right? Because you know the reason why. Kaliya, Balram's family, isn't it? So if I take my brother and kick Kaliya there, he won't be very happy about it. His family member. So he didn't want to take Balram that day. Krishna went on his own with the cowherd boys. So, these boys have gone there, cowherd boys, and they drank the water from the Kalindi river and they all died. And Krishna comes there and looked at them and got their life back. You will see there in the 54th chapter, verse 6.
Nashya jivan vichyudan shmadaletan vishwan pasyan achyudatvam dayardram prapyobandam jivayam asitadrak piyusham ho varshivi shri kadakshayi.
Just by looking at them, they all came back to life. All the cowherd boys who lost their life, they have come back to life because Krishna just looked at them.
It says there. You can see that. So,
Kaliya was, the children came back and everybody, all the calves also who drank water, they were also dead. They also came back. Then, Krishna took the decision. Kaliya is living in this river.
Gavas Chaivam, 8th verse. Labdha jiva chanena speedanandastvamcha drishtva purasthal draga vavru sarvado harsha bashpam vyamun jandyo mandam undyan ninada.
Then
Kaliya should not be living here, Krishna says. He shouldn't be living here. He should go from here. But why was he living there? Because he had a fight with Garuda before. And Garuda cannot come to Kalindi River. He had got a curse from Saubari before. So therefore, Kaliya knows that Garuda won't come there. So he was coming and staying in Kalindi River, right? You will see this. Saubari's story in the 9th canto. If you remember Saubari, what he did, right? So, if it has got vasana inside, even if you keep the mind inside the water, the vasana will come out. That's what has happened to Saubari. Remember? Saubari had a vasana in him. He performed a lot of penances and austerities, and he managed to acquire a lot of yogic powers. He became a very powerful yogi, Saubhiri. But when Mandhadav's daughters, he wanted to marry them, he married 50 of those girls, which we have discussed in the 9th canto. And how did that happen? He gave up everything and went to perform meditation underneath the water in the Kalindi River. But while inside the water, he saw the fish having family life. After seeing that, and that vasana was still there in Saubhari's heart, desire for family life. And because of that, he decided, he gave up his meditation, everything, came back and asked, wanted to get married. So naturally, he's a rishi, he goes to the king and says to him that I wanted to marry your daughters. So, Mandhara was very intelligent. He knew, if I marry my daughters to this person who looks underneath the water, spent for hundreds of years, body has all become very skin and all looking like a fish only, more or less. So he didn't want that. But so he sent him to the inner rooms to talk to the girls and see if anybody wants to marry you. I have no objection, he said. Because otherwise he was frightened that he might curse them. So Mandhara goes there and marries all the girls, which we talked about in 9th canto before. And that Saubhari's vasana is, and it is then that Garuda came there and Garuda tried to eat the fish. And Saubhari was very attached to the fish inside the water. So he cursed the Garuda. You should not come here. If you come here again, you will lose your life. Cursed him, and because of that curse, Garuda cannot go there anymore. This was the situation. Kaliya knew this. So what it is saying here is that if you have vasana inside, even if you go anywhere, doesn't matter where it is, if the vasana is inside, it will make the mind to move, to act. Same thing happened to our Chitrakedu. Poor Chitrakedu, 7 days chanted the mantra Narada Maharshi has given, met Lord Balaram. Balaram gave him the position of Vidyadhara in the heavenly planets. But there was some vasana inside which came out when he saw Sri Parvati sitting in Lord Shiva's lap. And he made a comment there, did he not? That is this Lord Shiva, who is supposed to be the spiritual master of the whole world, sitting like this? And even civilized people don't do like this. Some comment came out from him. And Sri Parvati said, who is this person to come and make a comment like this? And sent him to become Ritrasura. He became Ritrasura like that. So what it is all showing is, if we have vasana inside, no matter where we go, it can be in Vaikuntham, it can be anywhere, if the vasanas are still there, that vasana, if it gets an opportunity, it will come out in some form. It will come out. So executing bhakti, engaged in bhakti sadhana, right? Chanting the holy name. Like Ambarish Maharaj, who always took shelter of the holy name and deity worship, even then, if ragam and dvesham has not gone away from inside completely, or one who has got attachment or aversion, then it is still possible that you could get into problems. Get into problems, right? Saubhari was a very siddha. He was a very well-known, realized soul he was, right? But siddhi and jnanam, they are two different things, right? Siddhi and jnanam are two different things, right? You may have siddhi, but you may not have jnanam. You may have siddhi, but you may not have jnanam, right? So what was happening to Saubhari was, he had siddhi and he felt that that was not sufficient. Therefore, he went back again to perform penances. So, and when he sat down to perform penances, tapasya, wherever he looked, there was attraction for him because the vasanas have not gone, right? That's why even if you are in the middle of your community or society, still you can fall into trouble, right? Wherever you look, you will find something attracting you in the world. Through your eyes, you will find some attraction for something, right? That is called attraction and repulsion, isn't it? Agarshanam, vigarshanam, it's called. Agarshanam, vigarshanam. Attraction and repulsion to anything in this world is an indication that we have still vasana inside. It's too subtle, we may not understand that, but if you are feeling attraction or repulsion in this world towards anything, that means you still have vasana inside. Vasanas have not gone. Good vasana or bad vasana, whatever it may be, right? So, so that is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita that you should sit in a place where you don't have this problem, attraction and repulsion. Inside, right? No, there should be no disturbance inside. And many people will think like this, that they would like to go to a place where there is no too much of a disturbance, right? And they will go to Himalayas, and there are many caves in the Himalayas where yogis go and sit there. Because even if they go there, still they are not able to escape from that. Because why? All this attraction, repulsion is inside the mind. If this has not gone away, even if you go to Himalaya, nothing is going to change. Because your vasanas have not gone from inside. From inside. So, similarly, the same material existence we will create even if you go to the forest. That is the problem. That is why Saubhari found that maybe if I stay underneath the water, I may be safe. But he was not safe. You see, there was vasana inside, it came out. And then he saw the fish having householder life. He also felt, why should I not have a householder life? Came back, got married to 50 girls. And then later on he repents, oh, I wasted all my time in this householder life. At the very end, right? So, so you can see that there is in Dubai, apparently, there's a restaurant underneath the water. So Saubhari did the same thing, go underneath the water. So there, the yogis have got a practice called Jalastambham. Jalastambham means they can go underneath the water and control their breath and remain there in that like that, right? So, and it was then that all vasanas have not gone from Saubhari. Because when he saw Garuda coming and eating the fish, he got angry. That means that vasana was inside. Anger came out and cursed Garuda. Right? So, and Saubhari knew very well that he used to get angry. And he didn't want to get angry anymore. That is why he thought it is a safer place underneath the water. But when he got underneath the water, he got angry there also. Anger didn't leave him. Right? So, all vasanas are like that. If you think about our own vasanas, individual vasanas, you can see that as soon as it gets an opportunity in this world, it will pop up. And it will show its... and then you will think about it much, much later, after everything damage is done. It's too late, right? So, and similarly... just like he got upset with Garuda, in the same way, when he saw the fish, he was seeing the male fish and the female fish, and he noticed that all the male fish were running after the female fish. When he saw that, what kind of life do I have, he said, that it's not bad if I get married and have a loads of wives and enjoy a life like this. This vasana inside, although he has acquired a lot of yogic power, vasanas have not gone from inside. That's why in Shastram they call vasana chayam. Unless the vasanas are wiped out from inside, you can fall again back into this situation. So vasana won't go no matter where you go. Vasanas will come out, right? Then he went to Manthadav's, you know that story. And Manthadav had that 50 daughters. King asked him how can I marry all the girls' daughters to him, right? But he was frightened because he could curse. He was a Siddha. He had that power in him, right? So very diplomatically, Manthadav told him, you can go and talk to them. Whoever wants to marry you, I have no objection. So our Saubhari realized that the reason why he is not marrying the girls to me is because I look very ugly. My form is very, very bad. So because of his siddhi, he changed his form into a very youthful form. And with that youthful form, he goes to see the girls in the palace. And when they saw him, they all wanted to marry him. So he married all of them, all the 50 girls, right? And then he had a householder life because he had a lot of siddhis, you see. Due to the siddhis, he could live very opulent life. And even our Manthadav felt ashamed seeing the opulence of Saubhari. Saubhari became so opulent lifestyle, and he expanded himself into 50 forms, and he had his householder life with these 50 girls, right? Seeing that, even Manthadav was in shock, the way Saubhari lived, right? And from each girl, he had 10 sons. 10 children were born. So totally you can see 50 girls, so times. So his householder life, not much different than Krishna's householder life in that sense, isn't it? So 50 girls, 10 children, 500 that alone. So 500 of the children, 50 wives, 550 plus 1, 551 total. The family. Like some people when they give donations, they give 551. 101. Like that. Same way. So 551. Total. Right. At the end, they're all... he was in serious trouble, right? Remember in Rishabhadev's case, he had 100 sons, right? But they, all of them became yogis or jnanis or great personalities, right? And even though they were all in the householder life, the 100 children, right? So, in spite of all that, Krishabhadev did not lose his jnanam, knowledge. He still remained as a yogi, isn't it? Jnani, he was a jnani. Krishabhadev was a jnani. So, even though he had 100 children, and they were all married, and he had a family, but Rishabhadev did not lose his jnanam, the knowledge of the self. So, this is the difference between the jnani and the siddha, right? So, in jnani's life, even if he conducts a lot of vyavaharam, his knowledge inside will not be affected. In siddha, like Saubhari, if you look, you see what happened. Saubhari, as soon as Vyavaharam started, right, he got into trouble. Can you see the difference between Rishabhadev and Saubhari? Rishabhadev was a jnani. He also had a family, big family, 100 children, right? But in spite of all that, Rishabhadev did not lose the spiritual knowledge he had in him, spiritual realization. That is why at the end, after instructing his sons, he walked away from home in a realized state. He gets out from the palace, isn't it? Remember, he put the stone in the mouth and he walked like a avadhuta. He left the palace and walked out. And that's when you find there the instructions to the children. Nayam deho dehava janra loge, those verses, right? So, Rishabhadev is a jnani, and a jnani will not lose his realization even though he had family. Family means vyavaharam, isn't it? Family means vyavaharam. So even if he comes into vyavaharam level, he will not lose the knowledge. He will not lose the knowledge. Whereas a siddha, even though he has yogic powers, once he gets into vyavaharam, he gets into problems. He gets into problems. So, so what happened to our... you can see, in Krishna's case, he was right in the middle of all the vyavaharam going on in this world. Mahabharat war, killing the Kamsa, and relationship with the gopis, and killing Jarasandha, and so many things in the palace. But because the knowledge inside is so fixed inside, nothing is affecting inside. You can see the difference. That is why Krishna is talking about jnanam so much in the Bhagavad Gita. If the knowledge is inside and it is firmly established inside, vyavaharam cannot disturb inside. After Mahabharata war, they say, Krishna was smiling. Why? That knowledge what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is full inside Krishna. So it did not disturb him. As far as he is concerned, the war has not happened. That's how he sees that. Yeah. So, this is he saying here, whereas our Saubhari, what happened to him? Saubhari had all the siddhis and he married all these 50 girls. And then he realized that, I don't have any realization. By yogic power he achieved all these things, right? So, then what he did, he gave up everything, family, and walked away from there. That means at that point, Vairagyam came to Saubhari. So, in that way, Saubhari performed again penances in Yamuna river. So, Yamuna also became famous because of Saubhari. Saubhari performing penances there, right? So, it is there that Kaliya has come and staying there. And Krishna decided to take Kaliya away from there. You will see that in the 55th chapter. Athavarini khoratanam paninam prativarayitam krutadir bhagavan. That whole chapter is Krishna's dance on Kaliya. That can see that the way the words are formulated, like a dance it is. The whole verses are like a dance. Like a dance. Bhuvanatraya bhara prado bhavato guru bhara vikam vivijram vijala parimajaya dismathanushadakam tadini jadidi sputa ghoshavati adadikshubidikshu parikshubidad brahmido daravarini nadavarai udagaduraga duragadibadi todubandama shandarushandhamanah bhanashringa sahasravini sramarajjola dagdiganogravishambhudaram Puradabhaninam samalokayada bahushranginam anjana shailamiva jaladakshi paricharadugravishashusanoshpaparasamahabhujaga paridashya bhavandamanandamalam samaveshtayadasputajeshtamaho avilokya bhavandamathatulite tadagamini balaka dhenugane vrajagehadalepya nimittashadam samudikshagada yamunam pashupaha Akhileshu vibho bhavadiya dasha avalokya jihasushu jiva bharam bhanibandhanam ashu vimuchya java udagamya dahasa jusha bhavata adiruhyatada bhanirajabanan nanrade bhavada mrudupadaruja
Kalashinjidanu Puramanjumil Karakankana Sankwala Sankunidam Jahrashur Pashuva Stutushur Munayo Vavrushur Kusuma Anisurendra Ganaha Toi Nurtyadi Maharuda Gehabadi Paripahisamam Tomadanda Gadal.
Krishna's dance on top of Kaliya. That's what those verses are, right? Krishna jumped onto the nape of tree and from the branch he jumped into the water. And when he jumped into the water, Bhuvanatraya Bhara, he says, Bhuvanatraya Bhara, what happened? Bhuvanatraya Bhara Prado Bhavado Guru Bhara Vikam Vivijram Bijala. Vijram Bijala, what does that mean? It means that the water, Krishna increased his weight of all the, because based on the weight, the amount of water will come out from the river. And that's why so much water came out, started coming out from the river, right? So Kaliya heard the sound, Krishna coming into the water. He has never heard this before, because normally nobody comes there to the river because of Kaliya, right? It's like, you see, Kaliya's put a boat there. This is not open for public in that way. Kaliya is staying comfortably inside the river like that, right? So it is Kaliya's area. Nobody will go there in that way. And when Kaliya heard the sound, it was a shock to him. He has not heard anybody coming there before. So he came out from there and started, you can see in the fifth verse, Panashringa sahasra vinisramara jvaladagnikanogyavishambudaram puradabhaninam samalokayada bahushringinam anjana shailamiva. That he came out and he is looking everywhere. He has got many, many hoods and he saw Krishna there with his, he tied around Krishna and tried to control him. Yes. He's on the top of the, it is all happening on top of the water, right? So cowherd boys have seen this, Kaliya coming and getting Krishna and taking him in, right? So they started crying, the cowherd boys, young boys, they were standing there, Krishna's friends, and they all started crying. And they were saying to each other, what's the point in living in this world? So that's what they're saying. Akhileshu vibho, eighth verse. Akhileshu vibho bhavadiya dasha avalokya jiha susho jiva bharam phanibandhanam ashu vimuchya java udagam yadahasa jusha bhavata. That they were saying, what's the point in living that without Krishna? And when they were deciding this, that they were planking, making themselves decided to kill themselves, that's where they are saying phanibandhanam Ashivimuchya Java Udagamyadaha Sajusha Bhavata. At that point, when the cowherd boys were feeling very distressed about it, Krishna came out from Kaliya's bondage, right, and jumped onto Kaliya's head. And when Krishna looked Kaliya's different heads on top of that, he found it was a nice place to dance. Very soft space, right? Beautiful stage for a dance, he said. So, even if you put loads of cushions, you won't feel that softness of Kaliya's head. So, and that is apparently the reason that why Mahavishnu is lying on Adishesha in the Vaikuntham, right? So, 55. Yeah, so he says here, he jumped onto the top. Adiruhya dada bhaniraja bhanan nanrade bhavada mrudu padaruja. Ninth verse. Kala shinjida nubhira manjumilal karakangana sangula sangvanidam. And when he climbed there, there's in Krishna's hands there is a golden bangles, everything, and also padaswaram, the anklets, what he has got. And when Krishna started dancing, Krishna's jewelry on the feet, legs and the hands also started making that sound, right? So when Krishna started dancing, the cowherd boys felt a big relief. Krishna danced just to make sure the cowherd boys don't feel distressed about it, that he is still in control. So when Krishna started dancing, seeing Krishna's happiness, The cowherd boys standing in the river bank, they also started dancing. Right. And at that time, we will see Jahrushu Pashuba. Jahrushu means they felt happy. Who? Pashuba, cowherd boys. Tudushur Munayo. The rishis saw this from higher planes. They saw that and they were pleased seeing this. Vavrushu Kusumani Surendra Gana. Demigods see this from the top and they showered flower petals on Krishna from the sky. Jahrushu Pashuba Studushur Munayo. Vavrushu Kusumani Surendra Gana. And Krishna continued the dance in that way. And all the demigods came to see Krishna's dance on Kaliya. And so Krishna's dance program started dancing from there, right? You see, Mahavishnu is the first person who has invented dancing. But the expert in that is Shiva, Ananda Murthy, right? Nataraja dance, famous. Lord Shiva, Mahavishnu started the dancing first. And Lord Shiva has perfected that dancing system. In fact, this whole Bharata Maharshi, who wrote this Natya Shastram, you know, from their Bharatanatyam and other, so many other things has come from that. Bharata Maharshi is the personality who wrote Bharata Muni's Natya Shastram, right? Apparently, he wrote that after he had the vision of Lord Shiva's dance. That's where he got the knowledge from Lord Shiva to write that famous book, Natya Shastram, right? So, Shiva's accord, based on the dancing form, Shiva has different names also. Nataraja is one of the, he's a king of dance, isn't it? Right. And there are different forms of Shiva's dancing, with legs and feet, legs and hands in different poses, right? So, Vishnu does not dance like that so much, in the sense that in Kaliya Mardhanam, when Kaliya was subdued, at that time there is a dance, Krishna's dance, right? And they have not seen Krishna dancing before. So this is the first time they saw Krishna dancing, right? You will see in the 10th canto, in the 16th chapter, verse 26, right? Sri Shuka Brahmarshi gave a special title to Krishna there. Because seeing this dance, Shuka Brahmarshi says there, Evam Paribrahma Hadaujasa Unnadamsam Anamyatal Prithushira Sudhiruda Madhya Tan Mudra Ratna Nigaras Sparshadi Tamram Padambujo. What is the title? Agila Kaladi Guru. Agila Kaladi Gurur Nanartha, he says. So, that is another name Shuka Brahmarshi has given to Krishna in the Bhagavatam. Agila Kaladi Guru. The Guru of all the different Kala. Music, dance, every kind of Kala, its Guru is Krishna. Agila Kaladi Gurur Nanartha, right? So, and Sri Shuka Brahmarshi says there that who has danced on the top of that snake? Krishna danced, and due to dance, Krishna's feet has become reddish color because of the dancing, right? So, the person who has danced is Akhila Kaladi Guru. Guru of all the Kala has danced, right? And when Ahila Kaladi Guru is dancing, there is no music, there is no instruments to be played with that. Only instruments was that the bangles what Yashoda Devi has put on the legs, from the feet, right? So that's why you will see in the 56th verse chapter, in the Narayaniyam, the first verse itself, Yujidra Kambida Kundala Mandala Sujirami Shananarthida Pannage Amaratadida Dundubi Sundaram Vyadi Gayadi Daivada Yavvate. The demigod saw that there was no instruments, so they brought all the instruments and they started playing from the sky, the instruments, right? And when the demigod started playing the instruments, Krishna was dancing here. The Apsaras woman also wanted to dance, so they started dancing there in the sky. So because they were happy that the instruments were played, so they started singing and dancing, right? They thought the music was so good, according to please the dance, to match with the dance, right? So, and immediately all the demigods went to inform Lord Shiva in Kailasam, because he is the king of all the dances. So he invited him as well to come, right? So they spoke to Lord Shiva, Nataraja Murthy, and they told him that Krishna is dancing here. Immediately Lord Shiva also came over to watch the dance, right? While going, he says to Nandigeshara, Nandi, take the mridanga with you. You will need the mridanga for the Harinam. Like that. Lord Shiva says like that. So, and Nandigeshara came with Lord Shiva to watch, right? So, Melpathur, what he did, when he compiled those verses, the rhythm of that verses, you will see there. Rujira kambida kundala mandalam sujiramishamanarthida pannake amaratadida dunduvi sundaram vyadi gayadi daivada yavade. Called drudavilambidam, a particular form of that meter of singing. And Lord Shiva told Nandigeshara the musical, what do they call it, beats, yes, right. And Amaratadida Dundubi Sundaram, you will see the words, Amaratadida Dundubi Sundaram Vyadi Gayadi Daivada Yavvate, everything to match. So, as and when one hood comes up, Krishna put the feet on that, right. And in this way, all the poison came out from Kaliya. Kaliya vomited a lot of poison from inside. And then Kaliya's wives came and they came and offered obeisances to Krishna and told Krishna that he is a Kala. Kala means Asura he is actually. But still he is our husband. Wives are saying this. He is an Asura. We know that he is an Asura. But still he is our husband, so you should let him live. What's the use of having wives like this, isn't it? So, anyway, so Krishna says to them, because he is your husband, I'm not going to kill him. I will leave him like that, he said. Kaliya also glorified Krishna. Kaliya says, it's all right, you can talk all these things, he says to Krishna. Then you are blaming me for spitting this poison here. But that's what you have put me inside. What can I do? He says. Kaliya also didn't give up. He kept on hanging. So Krishna says, your ahangaram has not gone yet, he said. That ahangaram inside. Kaliya's ahangaram, that's what they're talking about. Right? So he says, I should not actually blame you because I am a snake, Kaliya is saying. And what do you expect from my mouth to come? Nectar? Kaliya is saying to Krishna, that do you expect nectar to come from my mouth? What will come from my mouth? It's only poison, isn't it? I'm a snake. So, like this. So, and Kali also said, some people are in the human form and they are also spitting poison from inside. Like this. Right? At least I am a snake and you should not blame me. I am, why my body itself is like that, he said.
Krishna says to them, Krishna says to Kaliya, that's all right, don't stay here anymore, leave this place. And told him to go, right? So, you can, why that said like that is that sometimes the poison inside us is more poisonous than Kaliya's poison, what Kaliya's got inside, right? Suppose we have seen a snake, sometimes it happens, right? People see the snakes. Of course, in this island, people don't see snakes much. But when you got used to living with snakes, you will know this, right? So, normally, they don't give you trouble unless they feel fearful of you. If you are going to give them any trouble, they're going to kill them or anything. If they smell danger, only then they'll come and bite you. Otherwise, if you let them go, they'll go on their own, right? So, people say this, if the snake comes into the house, what shall we do, right? So, what's happening now is that normally the snakes don't come inside the house, right? But we go and build houses in their land. So naturally they will come inside. What can they do? So that's what's happening. Most of the times we go and build houses in the areas where they live and then they start coming into our houses. So, and it doesn't have any place anywhere to live. So many times this happened. And then they start coming in, right? So, Krishna is saying there, see that in the sixth verse. Ramanagam prajavari madhyagam paniriburna karo di virothitam idibavadvajananyatimanayan panibadir niragadurageyi samam. That you shouldn't be frightened anymore about Garuda because I have put the stamp on your head from my feet, right? Go to Ramanaga island and send Kaliya there, blessed him and told him to go there. Right? So, after this incident of Kaliya, subduing Kaliya, there is Pralamba killed. Pralamba was killed by Lord Balaram and Krishna has saved the cowherd boys from the fire, forest fire. Right? And then there is this chapter which is Krishna playing the flute and Gopi is getting affected by Krishna's playing the flute. There, that Venuganam and Gopi's assessment of the Krishna's playing the flute is a topic of its own to be discussed separately. There is a lot in that study of the Venugidam. It's called Venugidam, right? So, so that is why you'll find there Kaliya was sent over and then Krishna's form, but that one verse you can see which influenced Sri Shuka Brahmarshi. That is the 21st chapter if you look. 7th verse. Fifth verse. Barha Pidam Nadavaravabu 10:21:5. Karnayo karnikaram vibhradvasa kanaka visham vaijayandincha malam rendran veno radharasudhayo purayan gopavrundehi vrindaranyam subadaramanam pravishal gita kirti. This one verse and ahobagiyam stanakalakodam jigamsaya paya edapya sadhvi in the third canto. Lebhe gedim dhatri ujidam kutonyo kamvadayalim sharanam prajema. These two verses, when Shuka Brahmarshi heard from Vedavyas, that is put him into samadhi state. He was attracted into Bhagavadam because of this verse, they are saying. This Barhabidam verse. That is a dhyana shogam. Many devotees see Krishna's form in this way for meditation. Dhyana shogam. Varhapidam Nadavaravabu Karnayo Karnigaram Vibhradvasa Kanaka Kabisham Vajayandinjamalam Randranveno Radhrasudaya Purayan Gopavrandai Vrindaranyam Sabadaramanam Pravishad Gita Girti. These are the two verses which influenced Sri Shuka Brahmarshi. And what is the speciality with this verse? Krishna in the forest of Vrindavanam, cowherd boys decorating him with the things available from forest,
Nothing from the town, cities. Not artificially made anything. Everything from the forest flowers, leaves, everything. Using that, they decorated Krishna. And similarly, peacock feather. Everything from the forest, what you can get, they use that to decorate Krishna. And Krishna likes to get decorated by other cowherd boys, that beautiful form. And there Krishna enters with the flute. Gopis have sung that. And after that, they had that. After this incident, they wanted to have Krishna as their husband. And that is why they performed that Kartyayani Vratam. Right? Kartyayani Vratam. You will find in the Bhagavatam also. Who is this Kartyayani? How did she get this name Kartyayani? In Vamana Puranam, it says that Sri Parvati had taken a form to kill Mahishasura. And that is Kartyayani. That's how this Kartyayani came. So when Mahishasura started giving trouble, the anger from Mahavishnu, Shiva and Brahma came together. And that anger took a form, and that is Kartyayana Maharshi has come from that, and from her, him, Kartyayani has come. Kartyayanasya pradimena tejasa maharshina teja upakritamcha Kartyayani teva tadabhavso namnaja teneva jagal prasiddha. This is about Kartyayani spoken in the Vamana Puranam. In that killing that Mahishasura, Mahishasura like Hiranyakashipu went and beat all the demigods in the heavenly planets, right? So Kartikeya was born there. Subramanya Swami was born there, right? And from Subramanya's anger, it joined the anger of other demigods as well. And it became one, and that is called Kartyayani. Kartikeyasya kobena kobe mishre divaugasam esmal jadatrasa kanya tasmal Kartyayani smrita. Skanda Puranam says like this, right? So Kartyayani's history is that Kartyayani is another name of Sri Parvati in that incarnation. Uma, Kartyayani, Gauri, Kali, Haimavati, Ishwari. All these things. Amara Gosham says. So, Kartyayani is nobody else than Uma. So, Kartyayani is Sri Parvati in another form, right? Where it has come from. And here, you'll see that they entered into Kalindi River and they wanted to have Kartyayani Vratam. They wanted to perform fasting. And unfortunately, while bathing, they bathe without any clothes on the body. Vedam says you should not bathe without clothes on the body, right? Especially when you are performing vratam. So gopis did that, and Krishna comes in there as a little boy and jokingly jumped onto the top of the tree. Gopi saw that Krishna has taken all the clothes and put it on the top of the tree. So they asked Krishna to give the clothes back. Krishna says, you have to get rid of all the clothes, only then you will get me. Krishna says to them, you should have no clothes. Body should not have clothes. Mind should not have clothes. Because soul doesn't need clothes, right? So, the clothes what we are wearing is for the body, is it not? So, it is this understanding that when we say that you go to the temples without clothes on, you don't go to the temples with full suited tie and everything, but go in the simplest form of clothing, right? Because What is the cloth for the mind? Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all these things, right? All of these are considered to be different dresses for the atma, right? So, unless we remove everything, you won't get Krishna. So, in the yogi's language, annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam. All these things, right? Five sheets. They are the five clothes, sets of clothes which is covering the self, the Atma. So, unless we give up all clothing or attachment to clothing, only then you will get Krishna to teach us that is this stealing of clothes. Vastravaharana Leela. Why it is in the Bhagavatam? To teach us this spiritual principle that clothes have to be taken out first. That means you are losing your bodily identity. Only then you can take the clothes off. As long as I am thinking this body, I will wear the clothes, isn't it? So, when bodily identification, body is a cloth for the soul, actually. So, Krishna is saying to the gopis that these clothes should not be there. All the clothes should go. Only then you get Krishna, right? So, Krishna says to them, I will give you this blessing and one day, but and saying that he blessed them, and one day Krishna, with that incident was over. And then it is the later next incident, what happened was, these are all stories just touched in Aranyam like that. It says that they decided to go to the forest and have prasadam together. But when they got to the forest, they were feeling very hungry. So they ate whatever they have brought with them. Instead of eating for the lunch, they ate by about what they call it, a brunch. Instead of lunch, they had a brunch. And whatever that brought with them, that was all finished. There was nothing to eat. So Krishna says to them, they started complaining to Krishna, we are feeling hungry, he said. And Krishna says to them, go a few kilometers from here. There were some brahmanas performing sacrifices there. Go to them, Munjaranyam, that is the name of the place. There, you won't find any trees there. Wherever you look, it is all dharba grass there, right? The forest, dharba forest. There is a yagashala there, and yagam is going on. Many brahmanas are performing the sacrifices there. And all those brahmanas are very highly trained in performing sacrifices. Very knowledgeable in Shastram. But what Shastram? Karmagandam. Attracted by Karmagandam. And Karmaganda Talpara. So therefore, they have no entry into Jnanagandam. Jnanagandam, they have no entry. So, all their taste is in Karmagandam. Performing sacrifices, yagam, in that way. And go and tell them that I have come here and we are feeling hungry. They should give some prasadam. And actually, when Krishna says this, that I have come here, will those brahmanas know who is Krishna and why should they send food for him, right? In order to understand that, you have to know the situation in Vrindavanam at that time and the circumstances in which Krishna has spoken that. So, wherever a great personality takes birth, right? need not be an incarnation, need not be an avataram, right? Any Mahalpa even, when he is born, somehow or the other, that will be felt by the people in the area. They will experience that. The presence of the Mahatma, right? Then, but some people will hear about that and they will believe in that. Some people may not, right? So what happens is, when a great personality is born in an area where you are living, some people will believe that he is a great personality. Somebody may not, right? So, and some people, even if they believe a personality is born, they will not feel a desire to go and see this person or to offer their respects to him or to surrender to him. This will not happen. So these brahmanas, you have to look at the situation in the Vrindavanam at that time. Krishna was there and these pastimes were happening, and little by little Krishna is known to all. Everybody, because they will talk about it, is it not? So they have come to know, but somehow or the other, the brahmanas never felt any necessity to go and see Krishna before. Right? That maturity they didn't have. Right? In this way, even though Krishna was right in the middle of Vrindavanam, and there were Krishna's different pastimes going on, particularly after killing Kaliya, the news is spread everywhere that Krishna is not an ordinary child. He's a great personality. Nobody knew whether he's God or not, but people were saying like this. He could kill Kaliya like this. So they were talking about it each other. But still, not many people felt like approaching Krishna, offering respects to him, or surrendering to him. Nothing happened that way. And these brahmanas also fell into the same situation. This is what has happened to us, brahmanas, right? So when Krishna sent this message, that is the reason why Krishna told the cowherd boys, go and tell them that I have come, and see what the response is from them. Krishna knew that through killing Kaliya and killing the other demons and all that, he has become popular in that area. And he knew that brahmanas must also have heard about it. So he wanted that it's an opportunity given to them to please Krishna. But they didn't have the maturity to take it in the right way, understand that thing, right? So how did their thoughts go? You will see in the 23rd chapter how they reacted to that. If you look into the the cowherd boys goes to the brahmanas and asks the brahmana that Krishna had come with Balaram, and we are all hungry, we need some food. Gopya uchu, gopa uchu, he bhumi deva shunuda krishna syadesha karina praptajnani da badrambo gopa annu rama chodidan. Verse 6, 10:23:6, right? So he says to them, the cowherd boy says to the brahmana, we were sent by Krishna and Balaram, right? Krishna and Balaram had sent us here, and we have come to ask for some food for them. They are very hungry, he said. And we are also hungry, and Krishna has come, he is there in the forest. We are stealing, we are all need something to eat, right? So there is a system that for yagam, for sacrifices, whatever you have prepared, you can take it away from that, what you have cooked from that, for the sacrifice purpose, and the remaining you can distribute it to others, right? There is a system like that, and it is on that basis that the cowherd boys has asked for that, right? So, nobody spoke to them even. They acted as though they haven't heard anything. They didn't take notice of them. They completely ignored them. Right? So they came back. They never said that we will give you, nor did they say that we won't give you in that way. They left them like that. Right? So they came back and told Krishna, this is what has happened. And we stood there for a long time. They didn't give us anything. Said. Krishna says, next to the Yagashala, there is a Patnishala where the women are cooking. Go there and ask them. See what happens. They will give it to you, Krishna said. Krishna knew both. Brahmanas and the wives, both. So, inform them, he said. What is special with that woman, Patni, Vipravatni, or Brahmana's wives were, that they knew very well in life what the goal is. That maturity was there in them, right? So, these Brahmana, when they used to discuss Shastram, and when they hear Puranam from others, all these things, their discussions and all, this Brahmana women have heard before. A lot. They are not ordinary women in that sense, because they were wives of the Brahmanas. They were also well versed in the Shastram. They have heard enough through discussions and opportunity to hear from others, right? So, so because they have heard all this before, in their mind they know the purpose of life is self-realization. That they are aware of that, right? And in order to have that self-realization, you require the contact with a self-realized soul. Self-realized soul. So, it won't come from the books alone. The women were aware of that, right? So therefore, they thought this is the golden opportunity they got, who is coming and asking them for Krishna and Balaram, because they knew that Krishna is not one among us. Krishna is different. Krishna is the absolute truth himself, right? So, it is in this situation that Krishna's pastimes, and people were discussing about Krishna. Who is Krishna? So, from different personalities, they have heard about Krishna's position, right? So, they have understood that Krishna is not an ordinary child. He has godliness in him. He is somewhat superior to all of us. So, therefore, they wanted to see him. They wanted to see him. And this was an opportunity for that. So, it is at that time these children are coming and asking for the food. Right? So, as soon as they heard that, you will see what did the Viprabhatnis, you will see in the verse 61, in the chapter 61, what did they do? Viprabhatni says, the sixth verse, 61:6, Grihidanam nitvai sambhramakula chaturvidam bhojjara sampragrahyata chirandradattval pravilogana agraha. As soon as they heard this, gopis, Viprabhatnis, so these two are two different categories of women. Which one? Gopis, one sort. Wives of the Brahmanas are a different kind of women. Among the women also you can see the difference. Gopis have a different nature. The difference is, unlike gopis, the wives of the Brahmanas are well educated in Shastram. They know things. They are not ordinary, average people. In the sense that due to their association with the husbands, and husbands have studied Shastram, they discuss Shastram with each other. So, they also get an opportunity to hear all that. And naturally, they had the proper knowledge in them. The wives of the Brahmanas. Gopis didn't have anything. No knowledge of Shastram, nothing. All they knew was just to attracted by Krishna's beauty. That's all it was. Right. So these two kinds, and two kinds of devotees, two different types of devotees. So devotees are different types all the time, you will see. Right. So these wives of the Brahmanas, they have known Krishna's position. They have understood Krishna through Shastram. They have looked at Krishna through Shastram and they have known about that. Not they have known Krishna as Bhagavan, but through Shastra they are seeing him as the truth. There's a little difference there, right? These wives of the Brahmanas. And they also know the goal of life. They know the goal of life. You have to look back a little bit. Only then you will understand this, why the difference is, you see. They, in that society, at that time, Varnashrama Dharma was followed very strictly. So naturally, the wives of the Brahmanas had a better opportunity to study Shastram, to hear Shastram, and they grew up like that. So, because they had knowledge, when Krishna sent his boys to the wives of the Brahmanas, they immediately looked at Krishna through the Shastram. They are seeing him as someone who has come from the spiritual world to help the devotees, right? So, and they have knowledge in them. So their approach to Krishna is one way. The gopis were very close to Krishna as devotees. They have no knowledge about Krishna. Who Krishna is. All they know, Krishna is very beautiful and they just got attracted to Krishna's pastimes. and became the devotees. They were devotees, but they didn't have the knowledge like the wives of the brahmanas, right? So, and wives of the brahmanas knew the purpose of life, right? Purpose of the life. So it does make a big difference because of that, right? So, and that is why you will see there that the, while talking about them, that that Viprabhatni, he says, that tadascha vrindavanam, vrindavanado didurado vanam gadastam ghalu gopa gokule hridandare bhaktadara dijangana kadambaga anugrahana agraham vahan. So, here, that anadaral, if you look at the verse 4, anadaral khinnadiyo hi balaga samaya yuktam idam hi yajyaso chirat abhakta khalude mahisura kadam hi bhaktam toidei samarpideihi. Chirad abhakta, you see, the brahmanas were, they had knowledge, but they had no devotion in the heart. Chirad abhakta says, khalude mahisura. They are the best among the brahmanas, but there is no bhakti in the heart. Therefore, katham hi, Manpatur says to Krishna, katham hi bhaktam toitei samarpidei, that they did not think of bringing the prasadam and offering to Krishna. They never thought like that. Whereas if you look at verse 6, it says, grihi idanamni toi sambhramakula chaturvidam bhojyarasam pragrihyada chiram dridatval pravilohganagraha sogayar niruddhamabhi turnamayayu. Turnamayayu, he says that when they came there, that he says that they were aware of the necessity to have someone who is enlightened to guide them. That means that much knowledge they had in life, about spiritual life, right? So they knew that they wanted to meet someone who could give them that realization, the knowledge of realization, right? So it is at that time, this Krishna's pastimes were spread everywhere. The knowledge about Krishna's different pastimes have come to know. They also heard about it. Who? The wives of the brahmanas, right? So, and when they said this to him, Viprabhatnis, that means they had, that is why you can see, they have got that knowledge. That's why he used that word, chiram dridha. You see that? Chiram dridhatval pravilogan agraha. Sogher niruddhamabhi turnamayayu. That they were keeping this knowledge of self-realization inside them, hiding that, right? And you will see in the Bhagavadam also, in the verse 18, he says this, that shrutva achyudam upayadam nityam tad darshanol sugaha talkada kshipta manaso babhuvur jada sambhramaha. As soon as they heard this request from the cowherd boys, immediately the wives of the brahmanas, they arranged the, because you see there the maturity of the mind. The brahmanas are stuck in the pit of karmakandam, thinking that this karmakandam is everything. Whereas the wives of the brahmanas had a higher understanding. They knew the purpose of all this yagam, everything, is to please the absolute truth. And here Krishna has come. They were able to identify who Krishna is, whereas the brahmanas didn't. Just to show that maturity in the wives of the brahmanas, right? So, they have heard about Krishna in Vrindavanam, about different activities of Krishna. And obviously, when a great personality appears, people will talk about it, is it not? So, when they heard this, they immediately got the best opportunity in life. They took full advantage of that. Prepared the four, Chaturvida Bhajandeyamam, we will say, isn't it? So the Chaturvyah, similarly, the four kinds of food they have prepared and took it with them to give it to Krishna, right? And that is what you will find there. That Chaturvidam Bhojyarasam Prakrihyata, in the sixth verse. They took everything, and even though they knew that this opportunity may not come again, and even though husbands tried to stop them, they didn't listen. They ran to see Krishna. So you can understand from that how intelligent they were, were they not? That they were, this opportunity, they will never get it again in life. So they took advantage, right? So, from a very long distance, they saw Krishna and Balaram there. And after, when the cowherd boys, the wives of the brahmanas came with all the pots in their hands to feed Krishna, Balaram and the cowherd boys. And they wanted to feed Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys, right? So that is why apparently that this husbands tried to stop them from coming, right? So at that time Krishna and Balaram gave darshanam to the wives of the brahmanas. And it is one of the most famous songs in the Bhagavatam. Another important verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this verse and lost consciousness after hearing this verse. Which is the verse you can see. That Shyamam, verse 22. Shyamam Hiranyaparidim Vanamalyavarhadadu Pravala Nadaveshamanu Pradamse Vinyasta Hastamidare and Adunananamabjam Karnol Palalakapola Mukhabjahasam Spraya Shuddha Priyatamode Karnapure Asminimagdamanasastadach Adhachirandre Anda Pravesha Suchiram Paridabhyadabam Pratyam Yadavi Matayovi Jahurnarendra. Those two verses, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard those verses, he felt the same state of consciousness. That he fell into that ecstasy and he fell unconscious. Mahaprabhu fell unconscious. So this is the Krishna exhibited his whole beauty with Balaram and standing together gave darshanam to the wives of the brahmanas. So this is the first vision wives of the brahmanas had of Krishna, right? And that first time when you see a great personality, you will not forget that. The first vision, right? Similarly, devotees have also spoken the first time when they saw Krishna, how they felt. Or first time when they see their spiritual master, how they were affected by that form, right? That too, if the disciples, if they are very matured in their spiritual life, if they meet up with their spiritual master who is liberated soul, in their relationship, their knowledge will come up very strongly inside. The realization will come up. That is the way it happens. For example, that is why in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will find this. That first of all, like the wives of the brahmanas, they were not in the average person level. They had a good samskaram behind, well educated in the shastram, knows the shastram well, and lives the life also very rigidly, following the rules. They live like that. And because of all these things, they have good intelligence to think about things. That means when they study shastram, hear shastram, they know what is the goal of all these things. To come to the right conclusions, it's also important. So, because of all these things, when they saw Krishna and Balaram decided to, they were coming to see, just like someone goes to see the spiritual master, in such a way that relationship is. When from Krishna and Balaram, what they were expecting was not anything material. They were expecting some spiritual enlightenment from them, right? So therefore you can see the very thoughts of the wives of the brahmanas are on a different level than the ordinary person. So accordingly Krishna appeared in front of them and showed both Krishna and Balaram stood in front of them, and that is that verse, Shyamam Hiranya Paridim Vanamalivaham. And you can see in the next verse what did Shukha Brahmarshi say? Prajnyam Yathabhimathayo Vijahur Narendra. Again, Upanishads have come in there. So when we are talking about spiritual relationships and spiritual personalities, all Sri Shukha Brahmarshi has got to say only one thing, self-realization. Then this is what they were looking for. Who? The wives of the Brahmanas, right? So these, why they are, therefore they are mumukshu. You know this word, mumukshu? Mumukshu means one who wants to get liberated. Remember we were discussing yesterday, the most biggest difficulty all of us have got, we still don't want liberation. We still are happy if we can adjust our life in this world and somehow carry on till death. What happens after death? We say we don't know what will happen. But to get out of that avidya inside, it takes time. It's very difficult. That is why, when the requirement of a sadhaka, one who is engaged in spiritual life, one of them is this mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means you got to get yourself convinced first that you don't want to come back here again. That is called mumukshatvam. And that is what is missing in most of us, all of us, you can say. That mumukshatvam is not happening. For us now, spiritual life is just to bridge our little bit of material life. And it's not developing seriously in our life. It's not happening. Main reason for that is this lack of mumukshatvam inside. So here, these Brahmana wives, they were mumukshus. They had strong desire because they had knowledge inside that this material life is not everything. This is not the end of life. After this, we have to accept another body. All this is known to them very well, and they are fully aware of that. And therefore, this was an opportunity given to us to get liberated, this human body. It is with that consciousness they are living in this world. So, that's what it's saying here. Shyamam Hiranya Paridim. That verse. Vanamahalya Barhadadu Pravala Nadave Esham Anuvradena. Vadam say, Vinyasta Hastam Idarena Dunanam Abjam Karno Alpalalaka Kapolam Ghab Jahasam. And then, from a long distance they saw Krishna standing there, fully decorated, and in that description in that verse, holding a lotus flower in the hand, with the hand, one hand on top of Balaram's shoulders. They were standing together, right? So, and Krishna was wearing this vanamala. Vanamala means garland made from the forest flowers. There is a Sridhara Swami gives a whole description of different types of garlands, how it is made, and which flowers to be used for which garland. All this, there's rules for that. So generally Krishna was wearing this yellow garment and also this vanamala made from the forest flowers and the peacock feather, and then he had got this eardrops which is reflecting in his cheeks, right? And above all that, Krishna's glances full of compassion for others, right? And in the hands, the cowherd boys has decorated them well, different kinds of flowers and garlands all over the body, right? And when you see that, it looks like as though someone who has dressed up for playing some particular role in a drama, fully dressed up like that, right? So, and he says there that karnolpalalaga kapola mukha vinyasta hastam idarena dunanam abjam, right? So, and with one lotus flower in the hand, Krishna is standing there. Krishna's hair has fallen on either side. And they saw this form from a distance, right? And then the next verse is more important. Praya shruta priya tamodaya karna purehi asmin nimagna manasas tamadha akshirandrai andha pravesha suchiram parirabhya tapam pratyam yadabhimatayo vijahur narendra. See, the last two lines is what is Shukha Brahmarshi is telling us. He is saying here that the women, the wives of the brahmanas, they have heard about Krishna a lot. They have heard. And filled inside through the ear. Krishna has been filled in through the ear, right? So this whole ear has filled in with Krishna. Now, they fill the eyes also with Krishna. Previously, they have filled it through the ears, Shastra Jnanam, and he, what they heard about. They must have talked to each other, obviously. The wives must be talking to each other about Krishna, isn't it? So, they have filled themselves with Krishna consciousness through the ears before. Now they have filled Krishna with, through the eyes also, inside, right? So, through some hole, Krishna has to enter inside for everybody, right? So, then, where does it go? It goes straight into the heart. If it goes through the eyes, it goes through the ears, it goes straight into the heart, right? So, and that is why, you see, Andha Praveshya Suchiram Parirabhya Tapam. That's what they did. Andha Praveshya. Krishna entered inside. Parirabhya Suchiram Parirabhya Tapam. By allowing Krishna to get inside through the ears and through the eyes, they accepted that form inside and embraced that form in their heart. Right? And that is what it says here. Andha Praveshya Suchiram Parirabhya Tapam. All their material miseries, Adhyalpigam, Adibaudigam, Adidevigam, the three kinds of miseries, all gone with that. One the moment they absorb inside. So that tapam has gone. So there, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, what he has done, he put a word there. What did he do? Only Vedantam, who has studied Vedantam and who has reached a very higher level, will understand that word. It is their realization, what he is saying there. Prajnyam yathabhimatayo vijahur narendra. That's what that line. Prajnyam yathabhimatayo vijahur narendra. He is saying, when wives of the brahmanas have embraced Krishna in their heart, what they experienced was prajnyam, he says. Prajnyam. Prajnyam yathabhimatayo vijahur narendra. To tell us that the experience they had is prajna. Prajna. Prajna means that. So, as soon as they saw Krishna from a distance, when they saw Krishna and Balaram standing there, that they have entered into their heart and they embraced Krishna. How? For us normally, right? Daytime, in the waking state, and in the dream state, right, our thought waves is considered to be from ahankaram. Thoughts of ahankaram, isn't it? Chittavritti. All the chittavritti in the waking state and the dream state is centered around ahankaram, false ego. That is what that is indicating. This word is telling us. This word prajnam, you're trying to explain that. Normally, in the waking state and in the dream state, all our thought waves are centered around ahankaram. Ahankaram means we are looking at something and start judging, is it good for me or bad for me? Relationships, everything is centered around me, 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 me. Nothing else. In the waking state as well as in the dream state, it is centered around my ahankaram. That is, I'm living like that. Is it not? Right. In Sushupti state, what happens? That this wandering of the mind is gone. That means Chittavritti has gone completely, right? And my ahankaram has disappeared or dissolved somewhere. It's gone, right? And I go and stay in my original identity, and that is called prajnam. That's called prajnam, right? And why? Because at that time, my ahankaram has gone. How did it go? because I go and embrace the Paramatma inside, Super Soul inside, in the Sushupti state, and as soon as I experience that, that I embrace the Super Soul in the deep sleep state, my mind is gone. There is no more mind after that. That's why in Sushupti we feel that happiness, when the mind goes. Right? So, just like in the awakened state and in the dream state, I have been wandering around with my ahankaram, and all the thought waves that is centered around my ahankaram is operating. And this ahankaram, with the thought waves, completely disappears in the deep sleep state when ahankaram means jiva. Jiva is the ahankaram. Jiva goes in and embraces the Paramatma. Jivalma becomes one with the Paramatma. That is why it is called embracing, because it becomes one with them. When it embraces, what happens? The mind disappears. Thought waves goes away. And that stage is called prajnam. Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here, look at that verse. Anda pravesha suchiram parirabhyatapam prajnam yathabhimadayo vijahur narendra. That prajnam vidhabhimadayo vijahur narendra. That is what has happened to the wives of the brahmanas. When they saw Krishna and Balaram, and when they embraced Krishna and Balaram inside their heart, their mental activities completely came to a stop. Mind is not working anymore. Completely absorbed in that Nirvikalpa Samadhi state, which is Shukha Brahmarshi state. He is saying this. He is the right person to say this, because he only understands that what that state is. So that's what he is saying, that prajnam yathabhimadayo vijahur narendra, he says. So you can see the story goes on, but as soon as he found the right place to mention this, he wanted to speak the truth. This is what that, to tell us that this is the state of that wives of the brahmanas were. They have reached that state already. And you can see that ta astatha, next verse also, ta astatha tyakta sarvasha prapta atma didrikshaya vijnaya akila drag drashta praha prahasita anana. 24, right? You must always, when you read Bhagavatam, certain words, you have to give special attention to that. Because there will be a special reason why Sri Shukha Brahmarshi has used that special word in that place. And that is the only way you can appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam's that spiritual message properly, right? So, who are they? See how he is talking about these wives of the Brahmanas. Tastatha tekta sarvasha. They have no desires in them. No asha. No material desires at all. Tekta sarvasha. This is their state. You don't see Shukha Brahmarshi giving these adjectives to anyone easily. He will not say like this to other normally people. He says, tastatha tekta sarvasha prapta atma didrikshaya. Then they had no desires. At the same time, they had one desire, atma didrikshaya, self-realization. So from there you can understand, these wives of the brahmanas were very more like rishis. They had such a higher knowledge and understanding of life, proper understanding of spiritual life. That's what it is showing. They are not people who are just living a spiritual life to maintain their material life. They were living a life of knowledge and realization. But it so happened that they happened to be the wives of the brahmanas. They had to do their karmam, cooking for the sacrifices. They had to prepare all the food. And they were sitting in the room, in the kitchen, and inhaling the smoke from the kitchen and cooking. That was their prarabdham gayatis. But Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here that because the knowledge was high inside and bhakti was there in the heart, as soon as they saw Krishna, immediately he says, prajnam yathabhimadayo vijahur narendra. And the reason for that, he is saying, tastada tyakta sarvasha, material desires have completely gone away from them before. And prapta, he says, they are qualified for what? Atma didrikshaya, for self-realization. They were qualified for that. He is glorifying them, right? So, and they had that vijnayam, and knowing this, akhila drik drashta praha prakasidanana,
What is Akhila Drik Drashta means? One who knows the inside of everybody, Krishna. He knows our inside, where we are, is it not? If we have a lot of desires and if we have a lot of, Krishna is a bit slow in reacting to it. But after seeing these devotees, Krishna felt that this is the time to give them that mercy. And therefore he smiled. Prakasita anana, he says, he started smiling. He smiled at them. See, vijnaya, he uses the word in a way to tell us what was Krishna's situation, what was their situation. Their situation was, tastada tyakta sarvasha prapta atma didrakshaya. So that we don't misunderstand about them. That is why he is saying this. Because normally we will think that we always say that, oh, gopis are the highest, gopis are the highest. Right? We keep saying that. Everybody should be like the gopi. Gopi is another form of tradition of Krishna's devotees. There are various types of devotees in this world, isn't it? And these devotees are in no way inferior. They are come through the proper way. Varnashrama dharmam, knowledge of the shastram, living a life of dharmam, everything they have followed. And plus, because of the knowledge of the shastram and knowledge of the association, they had proper goal in their life, self-realization. That's why he is saying here. They have given up all their material desires. Tastatha tyakta sarvasha. All desires they have given up. They don't have any attraction for sense enjoyment. What else? Prapta atma didrakshaya. They wanted to get liberated. That knowledge of the self was very much working inside them. So you will see in Srimad Bhagavatam, when you keep reading it, you will notice a certain different nature of the devotees. Different nature of the devotees. We shouldn't think, oh, they are inferior to gopis and all that. They are not inferior to gopis. They have also had their own way of realization through knowledge and through that proper understanding. So, therefore, because when Uddhava went to see gopis, Krishna said to Uddhava, Uddhava, these are not ordinary type of devotees. You should be a bit careful when you deal with the gopis, he said to him. You won't understand them, first of all. Because gopis' devotion is a different kind of devotion that is. Anyone and everyone cannot get that devotion easily. It is a special mercy of Krishna. They have, as they say, that the gopis are rishis from previous life. They are the demigods from the heavenly planets. And they are the Vedas personified, Upanishads personified. They are the gopis, isn't it? Upanishadchari, Rishichari, and they gods from the heavenly planets. They are the gopis, right? So, comparing them with the wives of the brahmanas has no meaning because they are very special devotees. For ordinary people to be like that is not easy. To be like the gopis. That kind of devotion to develop in the heart. And plus, as they say, that in the rishis, in Ramachandra's appearance, they wanted to associate with Ramachandra. And Ramachandra told them, in this lifetime it may not happen, next time when I come, you will be with me. And that is how rishis have come as gopis. Similarly, Upanishads have come as gopis. So from there, you can see from their position where they came from, and it's not surprising at all that they had great devotion for Krishna in the heart. Very easily they were attracted by Krishna, even though they have not studied shastram in this life. You see? They all had that before, way before they had come here. Rishis, Upanishads, and the demigods of the heavenly planets, women from the higher planets. This is how gopis are spoken. Gopis are they. So naturally you expect from them, they don't have to go through the shastram and all, that's finished for them. Whereas the wives of the brahmanas, they were like ordinary, they lived in the varnashrama dharmam, but they were qualified people because they had reached that state of renunciation and knowledge. So that's why Subramashi specifically mentions about them like this. Tastada tyakta sarvasha prapta atma didrakshaya vijnaya akhila drudrashta praha prakasidanana. Krishna saw this. As soon as Krishna saw this, Subramashi says, vijnaya akhila drudrashta, one who can see their heart very well. Krishna sees their heart well. He knows what is in their heart. Knowing that, Krishna smiled. Prahasidanana, he says. Praha prahasidanana. Krishna smiled, seeing the style of heart, right? So,
So that's what it is there. It says that why he says vijñāyākila drak drashta, because normally we see things through the eye, right? Things through the eye. So for the eye, the object is drishyam, eye is drashtava. Eye is drashtava, right? Or ma, and but for eye, mind is the drik, eye is the drishyam. For the eye, the, say for example, this microphone, this is drishyam for the eye. Eye is the drashtava. For the mind, eye is the drishyam, mind is the drashtava. Mind is the drashtava. For the mind, buddhi is the drik. And for buddhi, mind is drishyam. Mind is drishyam. And similarly, for buddhi, atma is the drashta. Buddhi is the drishyam. You remember in the Bhagavad Gita, the famous words, Indriyani pararahu, indriyebhi paramana, manasastu parabuddhi, yo buddhe paratastu sa, says. Right? So, as soon as, so therefore, atma, who is seeing everything all the time, fully conscious of what is going on, avabhoda swarupam, that as soon as they saw Krishna, Krishna gave them the experience of the self to the wives of the brahmanas, straight away, gave it to them. Nirvikalpa samadhi state, right? He, then conversation starts, after giving that realization. So then, after that, that Krishna called the wives of the brahmanas and told them that you have given us nice prasadam, now you can go back. Everything is done, he said, right? So they says to him that you are telling us to go back, right? People like you should not say this to us. The wife says to them, look at the verse 29 in the chapter 23 in Bhagavatam, 10:23-29. Patnya uju, vipravatni, de uju, right? Maivam vibhorhadi bhavan gadidam nrishamsam satyam kurushva nigamam tava padamulam praptavayam tulasidama padava srishtam kesher nivodu adilengya samasta bandhun. He says that you shouldn't speak so harshly to us. Why? Because you have given this guarantee that your devotees will never perish. They will always be taken care of, right? Prove that is correct. Why? Because we have come here, we have upset our husbands, right? They were not happy about us coming here. But we threw that relationship away and we have come to you, right? And we have taken your shelter and now you are asking us to go back. That is not fair, they says to him. That. So, if you tell us to go back, that means that you are actually breaking the rule of Vedam. Vedam says, yad gatva na nivartande taddhama paramam mama. That shows how educated they were. They knew Shastram so well that they are saying to Krishna, yad gatva na nivartande taddhama paramam mama. Once you have come to me, there is no going back. How can you ask us to go back? They says to Krishna, right? And so in the Bhagavad Gita you will see, after reaching which state you don't come back again from there. So how this can be justified? They said, we have given up everything, we have come to you. That is why in the verse 30, Grihnandino na padaya pitarau sutova na bradra bandha sauh suhurda kudaye vachanye tasmal bhavat prabadayo padidalpanamno nanya bhaved gadir arindamata dvidehi. Verse 30, he says, if we go back, our husbands won't accept us because we have completely rejected them and came here. Even our parents and our children, they won't accept us. They will also reject us, right? And our brothers or our family members, they won't accept us. Then where is the question of going back? They are saying to him, so we cannot go back.
the wife told Krishna, "We cannot go back. The simple state is like that," he said. "Right. Everybody will reject us." So, at that time, Krishna is saying to them that in two ways, Krishna is giving the blessings to them that for when Krishna gives the mercy, he gives in different ways to different devotees, right? So some devotees, when they get the knowledge of the self, that means when they have come out of their bodily identity and come to their knowledge of self, when they go back, the family members will accept them for some cases, right? Whoever Krishna has accepted, all other family members also, even though they have rejected them, they will accept them back. This has happened in many instances, right? Because there is further reason why they should remain in this world, for serious reasons, right? So these wives of the brahmanas were like that. And when they went back, Krishna said to them, "They will accept you. They won't say anything." And that's exactly what happened. When they left, brahmanas rejected every one of them, told them not to come back. They got so upset because when they left. But this time when they went back, they have changed their mind. They happily accepted all the wives who had come back, right? And not only that, the brahmana started thinking, "We studied Shastram, everything, but we didn't get this. What stupid we were, foolish we were." They thought like that. When the wives went back, not only that they accepted them, they offered them all respects to the wives, right? So this you can see like this, one way, right? For gopis, in another way. Have you noticed that? The mercy given to gopis was in a different way. Gopis left everything, came. And after that, Radharani, Radhadevi and others, their relationships were totally different at home. Completely different. So you can see both. With wives of the brahmanas, they were given one kind of mercy because Krishna felt that they should be there in that place for other reasons. Whereas with the gopis, Krishna has stolen their heart and their relationships with all their family members, everything once for all closed down. This is what has happened. So these two different relationship ways Krishna has related with the devotees, you can see here. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.